Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Well, good morning, ESPN 1000. It's Xander. That's me. Brian Hanley's here. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mark. What's up?
Well, you know, the White Sox did pull one out last night. Look, they won 10-7, but that got a little scary, and I'll tell you why. And we have Sean Davis here, a noted White Sox fan. I want to get Sean to weigh in on this, too. Sean, how are you with the Tony La Russa, let's get somebody a clean inning in relief? How are you with that?
I'm cool with it. I was more upset with what's going on with the bullpen, specifically Michael Kopech.
Whoa,
I think this is
boy.
The second outing. I think Toronto was really bad.
It's the third where he's given up multiple runs.
Absolutely. But
it is the third, yeah.
You can go back to the Field of Dreams game. Even though he got out of that inning, he struggled a little bit. He came up. I think he came in, threw well, but he really wasn't throwing strikes the way he was prior to his injury, his hamstring injury, which, by the way, is similar to the injury that Giolito has right now. So my concern with him is that his mindset right now, he's trying to figure things out, but I would rather him go through it now than to be in that space in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to be talking baseball on the South Side. We'll work in the Cubs, certainly the Bears too. Brian, I bring this up, and Sean, because the Tapera thing. I've been saying this, and I know what Tony is. I know what Tony does. So it's not a surprise, but it's like Ryan Tapera looked great. Why can't he go a little deeper? I guess I'm just old school where I want pitchers to pitch until they start showing issues. Now, it worked out fine, but we've seen plenty of times this year where it didn't work out fine. You bring in a Kimbrel when you had a Tapera pitching before him, and then all of a sudden things didn't go well.
You bring him in the seventh inning. That's not a Kimbrel inning.
My point too. When you pitch it to Tapera and you put him in the second, you know he went. I think he faced two batters, had a strikeout. Why not pitch him in the seventh and then get to your? Yeah, you don't have this thing in your head where it's like, okay, eighth inning. I think we're safe to go to the hot shots. That's the thing that makes me nuts, and I know that's not what Tony does. But beyond the other Kopech issues, that really is a big issue. And if he is still injured, boy, I mean, that'll make three big arms on the staff. But I will say this, if he isn't injured, is it time to maybe give him a start? Maybe it's a starter versus reliever mentality. It's kind of
Kopech to start? Oh, I don't know. I think that's a little
like a bullpen start. Yeah, just to kind of give him a taste of.
Well, they're talking about a bullpen
direction.
Game on Tuesday, but he's not going to be available, I think, to be part of that committee. I don't think. But it's interesting because the White Sox, you have Hendricks talking about the worst thing in the world is a large lead in the division, a double digit game lead, right? Because you it's human nature. You let up a little bit. Tony La Russa is trying to give guys rest, and obviously just alluded to the injury, so he has guys out, and he's trying to figure out everything, but keep the same mindset of our job isn't finished here. The division is theirs. So there's no doubt about it, right? They're going to be in the playoffs. The problem is it's a big picture thing. You're looking at how good is this team in October and how healthy will this team be in October. But it was interesting to hear Liam Hendricks talk about the idea that last year when he was with Oakland as the closer, the White Sox had kind of taken their foot off the gas under Ricky Renteria towards the end of the regular season and maybe didn't have the same, mentality / confidence,
urgency,
or sense of urgency going into that playoff series. And he said flat out, the White Sox were a better team than we were, but we were playing the better baseball. Because we didn't have the luxury of taking it easy the final few weeks of the season.
Right.
So interesting perspective, but he said he hasn't detected that within the Sox clubhouse. He was quick to say that he thinks everyone's still on the same page and that, better yet, Tony La Russa is not going to allow that to happen.
Right. No doubt. And what Sean said was, you know, the Kopech, issues that are going on right now. Then you've got Giolito on the IL as of the other day, retroactive to August 31st. We still have Lance Lynn, who's set to come before that. Better now to go through this than later on in this month, where it's going to be critical. But you're right, that extreme lead. And they've been mentioning on TV the magic number. I don't want to hear the magic number unless it's under 10.
I started that about a month ago, just for grins, because if that's how comfortable they've been
right
in this division. Because
but now they're talking about it, Brian. They're mentioning it all the time. It's like, well, I don't want to hear that
Mark,
less than 10.
Yeah. You need to take a deep breath. I mean, they have a 99% chance of winning the division.
How about you, Sean? Do you want to hear that? Do you need to hear that?
I'm ready to get to the playoffs.
Well, I'm ready, too.
It doesn't bother me. I know it's going to happen, like Brian said.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for this team to be healthy
100%
and then in the playoffs.
That's the Jesse conversation where they just got to get rid of the month of September as a regular season. Good luck. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen with the CBA, but I don't see the owners going along.
Is that really on the table? We don't even know if that's on the table. It's on our table,
Jesse has a chance to be in those negotiations, so it'll be on the table.
Right.
But they've won 6 of the last 8 games. All of a sudden, they're a home run hitting team again, including Grandal, right? I mean, it's
really led by Grandal. Yeah.
Yeah. We go a month of saying, boy, you know, have you looked around? They're like the one of the few teams that doesn't hit the ball over the wall. And now that's all they do, right? So, yeah, look, a 9-3 game that turned into 10-7, they still won it. And, you know, Kopech is something you kind of keep your eye on, a guy you keep your eye on. The injuries you keep your eye on. It is interesting, and Fred Huebner and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, that 538, the website that, you know, puts projections and uses all their algorithms and everything else, they're not very confident in the White Sox winning a World Series. They have them as a 5% chance. And the team with the best chance to win the World Series, according to their projection, is the Dodgers at 30%. And then the other, you know, usual suspects are in between 5 and 30. So as much as they have the largest lead in the divisions among the division leaders, they, you know, there are some question marks here and just how good this team is.
Are you talking about who are setting those percentages again?
538.com, which is Nate Silver's website. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you don't want to believe that there are those question marks, but there are. And look, I'm not pulling my hair out on sports radio. What we do is just complain about the inane sometimes. And to have the problem of having all these arms and me wondering if Tapera can go a little deeper. That's why I don't have a Hall of Fame status in all those wins in leading major league teams. But, you know, you wonder sometimes. And Tony La Russa will make decisions that not all of us totally understand, but he's the man with the record. The Kopech issue is really intriguing.
Well, I mean, it's intriguing I think most of us believe that he'll be in the rotation next year. I mean, that would be an upset to me if he wasn't, right?
Well, that would be the ultimate destination, sure.
Yeah, and you know, again, what do you do with Dallas Keuchel since he's owed $18 million next year and $20 million the year following? And I said yesterday, the good news is he has a vesting, innings pitch vest, a contract vesting for 2024. I think he has to pitch 320 innings over this season and next. And when he can't get out of the third inning, that's not going to vest. So you don't have to worry about paying him another $20 million as a player option. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know what you do with him. If this is just a one-off that he's having a struggling season and he'll get his mind right and his body right and come back and be the old Dallas Keuchel next season. I mean, that's got to be the hope and the belief, but who knows? But, yeah, I would think Kopech is going to be in the rotation next year no matter. And you go from there. Maybe it's Carlos Rodon who's not here because Scott Boras has got him as a free agent and they're going to make the most money they can make. And hopefully the White Sox are the ones giving them the pile of money. But, you know, right now you wouldn't know how that's going to play out.
Right. Yeah, Kopech's got to be a starter next year. But the Dallas Keuchel issue, he not that he's picked a time to do this, you know, he's not doing this purposely, but it's a hell of a time when you have a Giolito and a Lynn on the DL, because, you know, I thought prior to those guys going on the DL, it's like, okay, why don't we just put Lopez in and spell him a relief spot and let him rest a little more and try to get his head together. But that's not an option now.
Ronaldo Lopez has been pretty good.
I mean, yeah, well, right. And but now Lopez has to start, you know, to spell relief for the other guys on the IL. So it's just not a great time. But as long as we have the bats swinging and swinging hard for the fences, you know, we've got Kansas City again today. Dylan Cease has been really, really good lately. And we've seen a steady improvement. Yeah. We still appreciate that. You're never going to let that go, are you?
Tapera, Cease, what else you need?
All right. So right now, Brian, right now, Cub fan, what hurts you more, Cease or Jimenez? Or are they equal at this point?
Well, I mean, Cease was supposedly just a throw-in, right?
But that's a hell of a throw-in.
When you throw in a guy who can throw 100-plus miles per hour, I don't like those throw-ins. And I had even when he struggled initially, I thought, again, you can't coach 100-plus miles an hour. So now he's figuring it out.
Yep.
And, you know, let's just put that on the Theo Jed worst moves list, because there's – maybe not a whole host of them, but there's probably half a dozen. And that certainly that Contreras trade would be right in that top five or six.
Yeah. Look, every team has them. There are a couple people here on ESPN 1000. I won't mention names, Meller and DeFalco, that are still upset about Tatis Jr. I've let that go because, you know, it's just one piece in a big puzzle. If we had retained him, who knows if we would not have made that trade for Quintana to you guys. So there's too many pieces. It's like
Jenga. Contreras, it's Quintana. He was such a non-factor. I forget his name.
it's like a Jenga game, right? So you can't really say, okay, that's as simple as that. And I get that. And there was a time where Jimenez was obviously the big winner, and he still is really in that trade, but boy, Cease is getting up there. And I know when the season started, Fred and I, who are usually on Sundays together, we had talked, and he was all about Dane Dunning and he was not about Cease. And so early on there was a question, is this going to pan out? And it wasn't like Fred was reaching, it was kind of like, okay, how is this going to work out? But he has really improved over this season. It's been a pleasure to watch, and he is going to be a tremendous asset moving forward.
Can you imagine being a Padres fan right now after their offseason and with Tatis Jr.?
No.
And you know, now they're not even going to be a playoff team. And, you know, it was Larry Rothschild's fault because the Talge rule didn't work there. I mean, so they launched the pitching coach. I mean, it just, again, winning the offseason, and Rick Hahn, everyone was celebrating winning the offseason, and yet here the White Sox are winning the regular season as well. So it's interesting because when everyone else was sitting on their hands for the most part, the Padres were getting Yu Darvish and wheeling and dealing with
Tampa.
And
they were really, you could argue, they were the most active
as
far as money spent and moves made for a smaller market, and look what that's got them.
Yeah, so that's baseball, baby. I mean, you never know, right? I mean,
no, you don't know. We've got Jesse coming up at 10. We're definitely going to hit him up on a lot of things on the south side. We'll talk about the north side as well. Bears talk, sure, why not? I think we're all still wondering what is going on as far as the O-line and how this thing is going to look. I don't like this this dead week between preseason and regular season.
Gives you too much.
I'm ready to get it going.
Yeah, gives you too much time to just say, hey, Matt Nagy. And by the way, we have a Twitter poll question, right? That where's your confidence level in Matt Nagy now? You know, the hell with Andy
Dalton.
Yeah,
it is play calling, right?
Yeah, don't worry about Andy Dalton now. Worry about the guys calling the plays, sending the plays in to Andy Dalton.
It's interesting because we'll hit that audio next when we come back from the break, but I saw something in Rain Delay Theater that we're going to play some audio, and that'll trigger that poll that we have up on ESPN 1000 on Twitter. It's Hanley and Xander. This is ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. We'll be taking your calls, 312-332-3776. Remember, we're available on the app and on FM on HD2 at 100.3. It's ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
And Robert with a long home run to left. 1-0 White Sox in the first.
That was an 89-mile-an-hour two-seam fastball trying to work its way into the handle of Robert. Didn't get there. He yanked the hands in and said, yakitao, baby. Pitch.
Swinging a fly ball, deep left, half at the fence. It's gone! Robert with a two-homer day, and it's 12-1.
Lynch working quickly, and there's a swing and a blast. High and deep, left center. It will go!
That ball landed in the fountain. It's 1-0 White Sox in the first, his seventh of the season.
Hitting him into the drink, ESPN 1000. Luis Robert, Brian Hanley, how long, and Sean had this question, he gets all the credit here, how long is it going to take for him to be the premier defensive and offensive player on your Chicago White Sox?
Well, boy, you're spoiled for choice right now, right? Jose Abreu, named player of the month. Aloy Jimenez, you know, if he's a DH, well, that diminishes the value. But, I mean, when he hits and when he, you know, punishes a baseball, there's none better. I mean, he, you know, you can put him in the conversation.
T.A.
T.A. Now, the record, Mark, the record says basically the White Sox are a 500 team when Tim Anderson's not in the lineup. And I don't know if you can – you know, draw that straight line to in the lineup, winning baseball team, you know, not in the lineup, average team, but that's what it is. Those are the numbers. And is he the so-called straw that stirs the drink? Well, but again, I mean, you look at different guys have carried this team at different points in the season, right? Yep. And certainly Louis Robert, when he's healthy, is unbelievable. But Grandal's come back from injury, and all of a sudden he looks like a different guy, right? He's got 19 homers this season and 3-for-3 last night, 2-run homer, 4 RBI. I mean, up and down the lineup.
Brian, he hit a single last night.
yes, he did.
He actually hit a single. So, yeah, he's really come back. Luis Robert, after the injury, I heard Benetti and Gordon Beckham last night talk about how he just looks like a different player, like he's got it more together, right? And I've got to give credit to Jimenez. Since he's been back, he looks good in left field. He's done okay. He's not a liability. So all of that said, you're right. That's a tough call. But I think Luis Robert probably is going to be the best all-around player at some point. I just don't know how quick that's going to be. And you're right. It's an embarrassment of riches because we have so much going for us on the South side. And T.A. is a true leader. Obviously, he wasn't in the lineup yesterday, and we did win. We have a new guy up, Romy Gonzalez, which that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as I understand it, that was kind of a Chris Getz thing where Chris really felt this guy was ready. And Rick Hahn said, okay, Chris Getz has done a great job on the farm with these youngsters. And it was cool to get a name up here that was, you know, highly regarded that I haven't heard of.
Yeah. And Chris Getz, you know, should get, you know, again, behind the scenes guys, that's what makes winning organizations. Certainly Rick Hahn is the face of the front office and Tony's the, you know, face of the dugout of the team he's running. But guys like Chris Getz, you know, help player development. It's all about that, especially with a younger team like the White Sox, right? Who, you know, arguably a year ahead of whatever blueprint or schedule they might have had in their minds in the front office. But here they are. Here they are, you know, dominating most days, most weeks, most months. Speaks to the division, certainly not being a great division. But that said, they have they've withstood injury after injury. And even their slumps are minor because you have, I mean, even the Urminator came up and gave you a spark for a couple of weeks. No one expected that, right? And now he's a footnote in the season.
Right. Billy Hamilton, made some great contributions, and I still think he's just great on the bench. Every time they go to him, he's cracking somebody up. He's having fun on the bench, and we all know a loose team is a good thing. 312-332-3776, if you want to talk about the White Sox. We've hit everything about concerns about Kopech. My issue with not letting Tapera go a little deeper. Louis Robert, is he going to be the best player on this team, and how long will it take for him to be the best player on this team? Although it's not really a concern. We've got a lot of great players. But if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Even Mendick looked great. Yeah, you know, there's a guy who, you know, has come through a lot of the times when we've needed him to, and he's been back and forth.
Yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see what decisions are made. You know, the rosters were expanded this past week, so that's great. But it will be interesting. There'll be some close calls when you put together your playoff roster. And I know you don't want to talk about playoffs because, you know, the regular season is, you know, anything could happen. Yeah. But no.
I can't say that I'm so worried. Just the fixation on the magic number is just a little ridiculous to me.
But it'll be interesting to see, you know, which of these guys who've been, you know, pretty solid contributors who are bubble guys when it comes to a playoff roster, you know, Billy Hamilton being one of them, right?
We saw Jake Lamb was DFA'd.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't a surprise. We've got Gavin Sheets up.
Yeah.
And let's talk about his swing. Is that not one of the prettiest swings you've ever seen? That kid, he looks like a lefty Mike Trout to me.
Yeah. Ooh.
No. Let me say this.
Hyperbole.
His swing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm not saying defense. Mike Trout is an all around player. I'm saying at the plate with that swing from the left hand side. That, I mean, he's a big built guy like a Mike Trout. Those are the parallels only. I'm not saying he's Mike Trout. Yeah. That's a little lofty.
Again, you're spoiled for choice with this group. And, how that translates into postseason?
It's about damn time, Brian. Yeah. It is about time.
Well, look, again, it's interesting how they handle these last few weeks of the regular season. I know dog days and, you know, everyone just get me to the playoffs and get me to meaningful baseball. But if you're Tony La Russa and Rick Hahn and that coaching staff and even some of the leaders in that clubhouse, again, when you hear Liam Hendricks say it's very important to keep that same mindset. And again, by all indications, they have. But it's just you can't let your foot up off the gas pedal here because it's not that the division's going to be in play. It's just how you roll into the postseason. And has everyone got the same focus? And it goes back to that Field of Dreams game, the meeting that Tony had with the team and said, let's treat this next 16 games without a day off as a playoff run, right? A simulation where we bring it every day. We keep our focus. We're not going to get a break. So mentally, it's going to be a grind. Physically, it's going to be a grind. And they ended up basically a 500 team in that span, right? So
right. And those were tough teams, and those were teams outside the division. And you're right. The division's won. That's not a concern. It's the playing tough against these teams. Like the Yankees have had our number. But isn't it ironic that they probably, as it stands, and I haven't seen the standings today, but I don't think they're definitely not a lock for the playoffs. They're going to have a tough fight to get into the playoffs.
No, we were talking about yesterday, Fred and I. Interesting, because Rizzo and Gallo have really, I mean, Rizzo had the immediate contribution in the first few games, first week where he was hitting home runs. He and Gallo have been crickets offensively, but the fact that you have two left-handed hitters in that lineup that forces the opposing team to respect them has made Stanton and Judge has improved them greatly to the point where that the Yankees have gone on that run. Now they lost to Baltimore yesterday. You know, you can't, if you're the Yankees, you can't allow that to happen, but
no, right.
That surge after the trade deadline moves, it created the right-handed stalwarts in guys in Stanton and Judge took off because of the presence of Rizzo and Gallo, even though Rizzo and Gallo weren't putting up numbers.
Right. The Red Sox and Yankees are kind of neck and neck in Tampa Bay. I mean, last 10 games, they're 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
They look impressive with that. But no, not even the fans there, which is just crazy. Yeah. And I know that that's a longstanding problem. But don't they have the lowest payroll or one of the lowest payrolls?
They're usually in the team picture. But again, yesterday we were talking with callers and it's like, oh, you know, I worry about the Yankees. Oh, you know, who's going to be in the World Series? And no one brings up the Rays. And they sit here, I think, still with the most runs scored in the American League. Like you said, 8-2 in their last 10. They really don't go into prolonged slumps. And I mean, they're a model of consistency. And I remember when the White Sox were playing down there, guys like Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times were tweeting out, you know, could the White Sox have that same sense of urgency that the Rays seem to bring every night? And, you know, that they, in that series, it looked like the White Sox maybe weren't, you know, completely as focused as they needed to be. And the Tampa Rays were. So, you know, again, 162, a long season. It's tough to keep that, you know, stay on your mental game like, you know, most like the Rays seemingly do. But the White Sox seemingly are doing it right now.
Yeah, you know, the White Sox record 79-57. The Rays 86-50.
Yep.
Yeah, they're a tough team.
In a better division.
Yep, in a way better division. All right, we're going to come back and touch upon the Bears. We're going to have Jesse on at 10, by the way, talking baseball. Jesse Rogers, as we love to have him on here at ESPN 1000. But we're going to come back and mention the Bears. I heard a bit of audio that I want to hit the audio from the Hanging with Hurt episode featuring Matt Nagy. Did you happen to see it, Brian?
No, it will be
okay, good.
It's always a good surprise when Matt Nagy audio.
Right, that you haven't heard before. A lot of times, every time we listen to it the first time, it's like, wow, that's a surprise, Matt. Thank you. Okay, we're going to come back with that. We're taking your calls, 312-332-3776. It's Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000. Nice long holiday weekend. It's going to be a warm, sunny day today. 312-332-3776. We're taking your calls. And let us know what you're doing for Labor Day. Typically, Brian, people should not be working on Labor Day because it's a day off from labor. But then people do like home projects and stuff like that. I'm challenging people to do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
See the couch. Reacquaint yourself with said couch.
Yes, yes. I mean, look, I have a hard time doing that myself. I'm going to try to challenge myself to do absolutely nothing. We'll see how that works out. All right, Owen from Willowbrook wants to talk White Sox here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, just a note with what Hendrick said, you know, trying to keep your foot on the gas pedal. Well, I think each player has to look at themselves and maybe motivate themselves individually. And one of the things they can look at is the Sox are the only team with a 500 record in the playoffs right now. Every other team, including the wild card teams, have winning road records. And and the Sox are only a half game behind Houston for that second home field advantage. Tampa has had a big lead. The Sox have got a 10-game lead. Tampa's got a 7.5-game lead. And they seem to be winning every night. And I think the Sox have to look at that to motivate themselves to say, you know, keep themselves, you know, in this race for the second home field advantage. Because I think come playoff time, that's what you want to play for, is the opportunity to be able to have that last game at home if you can. And then one other note I just want to make, what I thought was a real big bat last night was Andrew Vaughn, who's gone a little bit south lately, I think. He had a great approach to driving that insurance run. I thought that was a great at bat. If we can get him going again, that'd really make that lineup really, really strong going into the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. I agree. The Andrew Vaughn at bat was versus a lefty. We've just got to get him swinging the same way against righties. But he's a rookie. You know, these things will come, as Steve Stone says. Don't you think, Brian, that would be, you know, the talk about winning home field advantage would have been part of that talk that Tony La Russa gave the team around the Field of Dreams game?
Well, I would think so. But, you know, again, I've been banging the drum about their record against winning teams. You know, it's great to live off the fat of the division, right? And it looks impressive and all, but when you get into the postseason, who are you going to be playing? You're going to be playing teams with winning
the
records.
The best teams, that's right.
Right. So you're 30-36 against teams with winning records. Look, the formula they have to get to a 10.5 game lead in the division is just fine. 46-24, you're supposed to dominate at home and be a 500 team on the road. Well, guess what? They're 33-33 on the road. So they're following that formula to get a winning season and to win a division. Yet, we've seen them play well against the tougher teams, and we've seen them lay an egg against tougher teams. And that's why, no other division leader has a losing record against winning teams, right? So that's a little bit of a concern for me. But
that's a big concern, sure.
Yeah, and it hasn't gotten any better. I mean, I've been talking about this for 2 months because you've been sitting here with a healthy lead anywhere from 5 games to 10.5 now for the last couple of months. So when Cleveland trades you their second baseman, you know that they've thrown up the white flag. I mean, and you knew the rest of the division was no damn good anyway. So that thing that still to me is a big concern that they haven't had success against the better teams in the league. So we'll see how that plays out.
Well, no better time to catch fire than now. This Kansas City team has no hope for the playoffs, but they have improved and they've had our number over the years. This year is a little different, but boy, Salvi Perez, we're going to see him again today. That guy's 31. He's a big boy. He still catches at a very high level and he hits bombs. Pretty impressive.
He's only 31. It seems like he's been in the league 20 years.
Well, I think 31 is like 40 in catcher's years, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of miles on those knees.
That's a lot of miles, right. And, I mean, like I said, he's a big guy. Catching is not an easy position, and he still plays at a very high level. But, Dylan Cease on the mound today. We've got pregame at 12:30 here on ESPN 1000, your home for the Chicago White Sox. I believe Connor's going to be on pregame. And then, we're going to take on KC and get rid of them and then move on from there. We're going to talk Bears right now, switching gears just a little bit, as we'll have Jesse on at 10 a.m. to talk more baseball, White Sox, and I don't know, maybe we'll hit on the Cubs if there's anything.
Well, 5-game win streak and Frank Schwindel. How about this? Fred said he bet the other day on Friday, he bet Frank Schwindel to hit a home run on his sports book and app. And he's had home runs in 5 or 6 games. The only game he didn't was the one Fred bet on.
That's obviously his fault then.
What I said to Fred, I think that's the first step of the 12-step program when you said, I bet Frank Schwindel to hit a home run. But I love the Sun-Times headline, Schwindy City. Because, I know it's the Pirates and they're awful. And the White Sox, took care of them too. So they're done with Chicago teams. They don't want to see any more Chicago teams. But I will say that during this 5-game win streak, which I never thought they would have one after the big trade-off, they're hustling. I mean, I don't know that these guys are keepers, whether it's Schwindel or
well, everybody's on audition
Wisdom.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, great. But, Pretty much. I don't know. I guess Jeff Passan, he on Friday, he said, well, sure, these guys could stick. But he was being kind of sarcastic, like, to what end? I mean, a 30-year-old Patrick Wisdom, who's had a terrific half season since coming up, you don't take that away from him. But I don't know, big picture, what these, what Frank Schwindel, although, you appreciate the approach, right? He wants to be better defensively. He's working on it. The offense is there. The hustle is there. And that, slide to end the game last night. So I'll get, celebrate him. And don't take that away. I mean, it's great that they've found a way to put 5 together because what were the odds on that happening, a few weeks ago?
No, slim to none. But I will say that because the Cubs are in this situation, they really have nothing to lose. So playing all these youngsters or these players that have been in the minors and they're a little older and give them a chance to shine on the big stage, there's going to be some good that comes of it. And I, a 5-game winning streak. Okay. That's fine. That's not going to get them into the playoffs, but we're going to see who can actually stick. And there are going to be some names that we weren't aware of before. And that's kind of the cool part of what's happening on the North side, aside from all the other things. And it's not been a great year, but bright spots.
I can't wait to hear from Jesse top of the hour about Kyle Hendricks. I mean, 160 2/3 innings pitch, 5th most in Major League Baseball, and yet he dismisses any fatigue factor, but he hasn't been very good at all for a while now. And what is going on with Kyle Hendricks? Do you give him do you skip him in the next time around on the rotation, just give him a break, a mental break, physical break, even though he says there's nothing physically ailing him, or do you just keep letting him plug away because he was so good for so long early on in the season?
Yeah, that will be interesting. I mean, they have nothing to lose to give him a little break, but he's got to be on board, you would think. You know, you want him on board.
I think you owe him that, right? But he's not going to take himself out of lineup. So even if he wants to, you know, once, you know, David Ross and Andy Green get together and talk about it, because, you know, they have to do it on the phone now.
Right. Yeah, that's another concern. And, you know, but this how long are they out? They're out been a couple days now, so they've got 10 days? Is that
10
it?
Days, unless they – I think they if they test negative, it could be 7 days, but it's still a few more days. But anyway, you know, at least this team is hustling, and, you know, we had a caller yesterday said – it's a double-A team playing a triple-A team, and I didn't know which one he meant. Was where the Cubs the double-A team or the
Does
Pirates?
It really matter?
Yeah, and he was – I guess he was a Sox fan. He's like, why are the fans putting the W flag up and screaming and singing Go Cubs Go? Because they paid for the ticket and they're enjoying the day. Well,
and there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, Cub fans, if the team has ever needed you, they really need you now.
Well, I'm with Yurko. I'm with Yurko. That unless you bought the tickets months ago, I wouldn't spend a dollar on it just to send a message to the Ricketts family.
Hey, that's the way. That's the White Sox way of doing things. I'm not against that at all. You know,
I'm unhappy. I'm not going to go buy your $12 beers, and I'm not coming to the park until you put a major league product out there because you're charging top five ticket prices, right?
Yep, and I think that Cubs fans. Yeah, you know, cheer, put up your W flag at your house and everything, but that's the way to be heard, is to speak with your wallet. All right, we'll be back, and we'll hit up that Nagy stuff that I was talking about from the TV show Hanging with Hurt, and we'll get into a poll question. We'll talk to Jesse at 10 a.m. We'll eventually get to the Xander Rock poll, as we do on Sunday mornings here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley at Xander, and we'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander here on a Sunday morning, talking with you, 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers coming on at 10 a.m. But right now, Brian, I want to talk about something that happened on Thursday night. I sat down in my favorite chair, cracked open a beer. It was game time, White Sox and Kansas City Royals from Kauffman Stadium. Then all of a sudden, it's rain delay, rain delay theater. So, you know, I just, only because I'm lazy, I didn't get up, and all of a sudden I just watched whatever. Yeah, remote was within a reach of a hand, but it's too much work. So I just sat and I watched, and on the rain delay theater, they'll play Hanging with Hurt. Have you ever seen this show? It's where Frank Thomas interviews. He's had T.A. on. He's had Mark Burley on. This time he had Matt Nagy on. And this must be a new episode, or I really missed it. But he had Coach Nagy on. And
he's selling some supplements?
I don't know if he was buying. I don't know if Matt was buying. But Matt had a big smile on his face. It turns out he was a huge Frank Thomas fan as a kid. That just goes to show you how advanced age some of us are, because Matt Nagy was wearing a Frank Thomas jersey as a kid in Scranton, PA. I didn't know that there was that big an age difference, but apparently there is. So I digress. I'm watching this, and I heard Matt say this, and I thought, ooh, I've got to bring that to the show. And I'm not sure how many other people had seen this this episode of Hanging with Hurt, but here's what Matt had to say.
It's very important because I take a lot of pride in that. And I also understand when things aren't going well, like last year, you know, I learned this from Coach Reed, and I believe in it. You always start with yourself. And people say, well, why take the play calling back? Because I believe in myself, and I believe in what I can do as a play caller. It's plain and simple. I know I'm a good play caller, and I know that I can call plays. But it's also last year at a time where things were struggling. I got to accept, you know, the responsibility and accountability that, hey, I'm not doing a good enough job. And I benched myself, and Bill did a great job. The players did a great job with it. And now it's time to get back on track. And I believe in myself. I know the players believe in me. I believe in them. We all believe in each other. And it's time to get back to getting back to work.
Wow, Brian. So he believes in himself as a play caller. And that leads us to our Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. On Twitter, how confident are you in Matt Nagy's play calling? Obviously, Matt's very confident in himself. He says the whole team is, everybody is. and your choices are highly confident, somewhat confident, not confident at all. How do you think that's going to turn out when we wrap it up at the end of the show?
Well, I would guess that either not very confident or not confident at all is going to be the majority of the votes, because, you know, the fact that he benched himself last year for good reason. Again, when you lose six straight games in the NFL, someone usually it used to be if the rule of thumb is if you lose three in a row, someone gets fired, the coach or the GM or both. Right. Mm-hmm. But yet here he sits hanging with the Big Hurt, and Ryan Pace met the media the other day and was excited about everything. So Pace is going into his seventh season, and Matt Nagy is still here a few years removed from being coach of the year, but not very good last year, certainly the year before. Even though you're a playoff team, you backed in, you didn't even win to get in, and it was a COVID created playoff spot, and you scored all 9 points at New Orleans. So he is the offensive guru. And by the way, when Lazor started calling plays, you saw better offense. And here's a team that struggled mightily, Mark, to score in the first half, right? I mean,
yes,
a touchdown in the first half was, you know, stop and put it on the highlight reel.
It's like seeing Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, and in the NFL, which has done nothing but create rules and change rules to create more scoring and sustain scoring drives. And yet here the Bears sit in the first half of games struggling to get into the end zone and usually settling for a field goal or two. So it has to be a hell of a lot better. And whether it's him calling the plays or Andy Dalton executing said plays, it's got to be a lot better, because you can't be playing against this schedule in particular. You can't be trailing by a touchdown or two for the majority of the game, because that's not going to get it done. You will not win more than you lose in a 17-game season doing what you did last year. And I still think, you know, I appreciate what he's saying, that he believes in himself and he benched himself. But why change something that did have immediate improvement? And you also got Montgomery going a lot more when Lazor was calling the games too, right? Calling the plays.
Yeah.
So he, last six games of the season, Montgomery, you know, Matt said it again this week. I love David Montgomery. I'm really close to him. I believe in him. You know, we're going to give him the ball, but usually he doesn't back up those words nearly enough for my taste.
Yeah. Last year, how many times did he say, oh, we've got to get him the ball more. And Sylvie this week made a great point. You're the head coach. Who are you talking about? If you're the play caller, you're the guy. Same thing with Cole Kmet. Happened last year. Got to get him the ball more. Well, you're the dude that calls the plays. Now, I do appreciate that he did bench himself. You know, I wonder if that was really his decision, if it was suggested by somebody else. But the point is, he has been heralded as an offensive guru, but we really haven't seen it consistently enough. And I think that this is going to be a pivotal year. Now, there are many people that say his job is not on the line, and it probably isn't. We'd like to see his job on the line to see some urgency, but I'm not sure that that's the case.
Ryan Pace is 42-54 in six seasons and 0-2 in the playoffs. And yet he's still the guy who's sitting in the big chair, and Matt Nagy is still working as well. And I get it. I mean, Pace was executive of the year the same season that Matt Nagy was coach of the year. But again, it was all about the defense and 38 takeaways. The offense hasn't been nearly as advertised. And you know, again,
he's the offensive guru.
But I'm with you. I don't believe either one of them have a clock ticking on them this season, because when George and Ted asked directly in that January 13th press conference where collaboration was the buzzword, all they said when asked, basically, is this a win or these guys are done season? They just said, we need to see improvement and production. So that's very nebulous.
Yeah, well, that's their MO. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in on this, if you want to jump in on the poll on Twitter at ESPN1000. Again, we're going to talk to Jesse, shift back to baseball at 10 a.m. I also don't buy, you know, the O-line obviously is an issue. We all know it's an issue. But I keep hearing people bring up, with good reason, that Fields should not play. And later on, there are a couple of cuts about Justin Fields from the very same episode of Hanging with Hurt that we'll get to. But I don't buy this whole don't put Justin Fields in because he's going to get killed because the O-line is not very solid. Doesn't he have a better chance at surviving than Andy Dalton, who does not move like Justin Fields?
Well, I mean, certainly.
So we're basically like to throw Andy to the wolves, you know, well, and protect Justin.
The answer to that is the more mobile quarterback is obviously going to be able to have some escapability,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But I also understand the argument that that can create and embed bad habits that all of a sudden he's got habits.
Well, yeah, that would be the byproduct, right?
Right. He's looking to get out before, you know, on almost every snap because he doesn't trust the line in front of him. But that said, my counter argument to that is how is this offensive line going to be appreciably better 5 games in, 7 games in? I mean, Jason Peters is only going to be older, right? I get continuity will help them stabilize and that will help them improve, but will be appreciably better. What's going to change in this makeshift offensive line that, you know, you drafted a guy who was going to switch to the left tackle. And then, by the way, you knew he had the one back issue, but now he's got a second issue, that back issue that needed surgery. So we're supposed to feel better that it wasn't a pre-existing condition, no matter it was back surgery, and he's not going to play this season. I know they keep saying there's a chance, but I don't believe it. So it is what it is, and I just don't know how this line – if Justin Fields is going to be fragile and you don't want to get him hurt in week 1 or 2 or 3, then tell me in week 8, 9, or 10 how that line is going to protect him any better.
Well, yeah. We'd like to think that somehow they gel or somehow they start working better together. I don't know if that's a realistic expectation. Certainly, we're hopeful, but it's probably not a realistic expectation. And I do get not putting Justin in because you're afraid he's going to get hurt. But at some point, you have to put him in there. And as you said, how is it going to be any better 8 weeks down the line? 312-332-3776. Let's go to break and come back. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers. We'll get back to football in a little while, but we're going to talk to Jesse about what's happening on the south side with the injuries to the starting rotation and what's happening on the north side too. We'll be back in 2 minutes here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander.